We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. And we are going to start from verse 1.
At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Now here we see the disciples asking questions, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of God? Before that, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus Christ was talking about John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist is greatest among all the people who are born into this world. But he says there will be least in the kingdom of God. He will be greater than the John the Baptist. But these people are not asking now greater. They are asking who will be the greatest. Now Jesus Christ simply understood what these people were thinking. The pride. When the pride gets in you, you want to be top of everybody. And that's what it is. So Jesus Christ took a child and says, if you want to be greatest in the kingdom of God, you have to be converted. When you say converted, means you got to be transformed. Your life has to be completely changed. And so he says, your life has to be changed, and then you will be humbling yourself, and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The people who are sinners, every sinner has a pride. And the pride is the cause of fall or sin. If the person doesn't believe in God and they have their own agenda. You know the Cain. Cain said, I'm not going to worship the Lord the way Abel does or my father does. I want to do the way I want to do. And he got into pride. He wanted to do his own will sacrifice. That's called selfishness or self-righteousness. Okay, so here he's saying your heart has to be changed and you have to be humble yourself and then you will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. From that we know the people who are going to go to heaven, they are going to be humble, they are going to be converted, they are going to be transformed. They are going to renew their mind. And in heaven, there is no sin. The word of God says no unholy thing will be entered into the kingdom of God. Matthew 18:5.
And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now here we see two things. One thing he says, whosoever receives this little one in my name receiveth me. Now somebody will say, well, in that case, if I adopt some children or take care of my children, that means I'm just like a serving Jesus. That's not the meaning coming. Whoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. The second verse, verse 6, please read one more time.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Now he says, the little one you receiving, those little one are believers. He says, those little one who believes in me. If somebody believes in Jesus Christ, and you receive that person, that means you're receiving Christ. He says, please read Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 and 42.
He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward.
See, here is clear. You receive the prophet who is prophesying or preaching about Jesus. That's the person you receive, who is preaching the gospel. If that person you receive and you give them food, shelter, money, take care of them, He says, you are just taking care of me. And then he says, if little one or little children means the children of God, who are the disciples of Jesus Christ, if you take care of them, even giving them a glass of water, you will receive your reward. In the Matthew chapter 18, verse 5 and 6, when you say, receive a little child in my name, that means you are receiving me. It's not that simple, but receiving somebody who believes in Jesus Christ, and you love that person, and you take care of that person, then you get the reward. Now here, and one more thing he says, some people orphan the little ones. Little one means can be small children. Now so many people are kidnapping small little girls and destroying them, and little boys. And some people are taking the mothers who are pregnant and aborting their children, brainwashing them and doing those things. So those people are offending this. All children are belong to God. We will reading in this. So the word of God says that kind of person, they should be hang the millstone around their neck and dump them, drown them in the depth of the sea. Now somebody says, this is Jesus talking? Yes. Somebody say, oh, he's kind, he's loving. He would not say somebody like that. Yes, he says he believes in death penalty. If somebody doing this kind of crime and the innocent people cannot defend themselves, he said that person should have death penalty. Read it in Mark chapter 9, verse 42.
And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea.
Now, here he says he should be drowned, depth of the sea. He said he should be cast into the depth of the sea and kill that person. And so it is very dangerous playing game with God. If somebody says nowadays, if somebody doing that and you take that person and putting in the depth of the sea, you will be in a jail. Even though we don't do it, God is going to put that person not in the depth of this water sea, depth of the lake of fire, the lake burning with the fire. And there God is going to do it anyhow. Go back to the Matthew chapter 18, verse 7.
Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Let's read in Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2 also.
Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones.
See, now the three books said the same thing. First of all, he says, woe to that man who brings the offenses. In the Luke, he said, it is difficult that offenses would not come. Because there are crazy people in the world. They will do crazy things. But at the same time, the word of God says, woe to those people. When the Judas betrayed Christ, Jesus says, it was better for that man never to be born into this world, because he will have greatest punishment in hell. This is why we have to tell the people, what you're doing, you are preparing yourself to eternal damnation, eternal hellfire. Even though in 21st century, nobody is going to pick you up and throwing in the middle of the sea, but that's what God is going to do. Okay, Matthew 18:8.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
He is saying, your hand, your foot, your eyes, try to make mischiefs, to do something wrong. Now, the sinners, they play game with their eyes, they steal with their hands, They walk to the bad places to commit sinful activities. So he says, your hands, your eyes, and your feet, cut it off, take it off, and throw it out. It is better for you with one eye go to heaven, with the one hand we can go to heaven, with one foot we can go to heaven. Now, just think of somebody literally takes the eye off, hands off, and cut his leg off, and his heart is not changed. Do you think that man will be going to heaven? No. There are some people without a hand. There are lame people. There are blind people. And they are not converted. Their life is not changed because they have one hand. So those people will go to hell. But here Jesus Christ, first he said, your heart should be converted. You should be transformed. But if you try to take your eyes off, you should know why you're taking it off. Then you should say, this eye is offending me. Eye is taking me to hell. I don't want this eye. And Lord, give me grace. And I told you stories before. There was a man, and he was assistant to the train driver, and those train works with charcoal, and he was putting the charcoal there. And the meantime, he will be going in the morning and making fun of other people, and his eyes were committing sin. And one day, one of the fire went to his eye. He became blind in one eye, poison going to another eye. He became blind in both eyes. He came to my church and I said, sir, can I pray for you? Because I prayed for many blind people and God healed them. I believe God can heal you also. He said, no, Pastor Peter, I don't need eyes. I had the eyes and I was going to hell with those eyes. Now my eyes are gone. Now I'm totally transformed. And I belong to Jesus Christ. So this scripture comes true there. Here the word of God is saying, your eyes, your hand, your feet will take you to hell if you don't use it for the glory of God. God has given us hand, lift up your hands and praise God. God has given us feet, he says your feet should be beautiful when you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your eyes should see the glory of God, means praising God. If you have good eyes, you can read the Bible, go to church, raise your hand, tap your feet, praise God and glorify God. Each and every organ God has given to us for his glory. And the verse 10 we read, one more time, please read.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Now again he said, little one. Can be little babies, can be born again children. Now little babies, they are innocent. And the word of God says, each and every little baby has an angel watching over them. Did you any time hear train crash, plane crash, and many, many disasters, and the children were tossed out with the wind hundreds of miles? But the babies are survived many, many times. Little babies, little children, they survive. Why? Because if they are really born again Christian children, they have more and more protection. So the word of God says, these little children, they have angels, and those angels stand before God, and those angels see the face of God all the time. And any problem comes to these children, from heaven to earth, split second they can come and rescue us. That's why the word of God says angels are there to rescue little babies, protect little babies. So he says those angels were watching, taking care of them, and they stand before the God, beholding the face of God every day. And the same time when we are born again, same thing happens. Read the Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14. Once you are born again, just like a little baby, in the eyes of God, we are babies, little children. If in the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, little children, when you are born again, child of God, the word of God says, God sends his angel to protect you. Because when you are newly born again, the devil is after you to kill you, destroy you, pull you down. So the God is there. He sends his angels to protect you. Please read.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
One person said, can I demand angels to do things for me? No. They are standing before God. They only take God's command. You cannot boss around in angels. And not only that, you cannot even worship the angels. So the angels are in the presence of God. Let's read Psalm 103, verse 20 and verse 21.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
See what he's trying to say? What the angels are doing, they receive the strength from God, and they hear his commands wherever they want to go, and they listen to his word and his voice. Whatever God says, they will do. They have to be in the presence of God, receive the command from God, listen to the voice of God, and do the right thing. Verse 21.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
See, they are minister of his, and when they do the Lord's work, they have pleasure doing it, the Lord's work. They are not tired, weary, or burdensome. As soon as God says, go, ready to go. They never disobey God. And so the angels are not one. There are millions and billions of angels. Each person have angels when you are born again. And each baby has the angel. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11.
For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
So here saying the Son of Man is Jesus Christ, came into this world for what? To save the sinners. We were lost. Lost in what? We lost God and we'll start going other way. God says, okay, I'll tell you where the right way is. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way. If you want to go to Father, you lost the way. You're going some way, going astray. There is a scripture says the way looks seems to be right. And when the people go in that road, the end up is death. That's what Jesus Christ says, I am the life. Don't go the wrong way. And I will show you the way. Luke chapter 9, verse 56.
For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.
The Jesus Christ says, I have come to give you life. And what? More abundant life. He said, I didn't come to destroy your life. I came here to give you life. And St. John chapter 10, verse 10, what he says? The enemy, the devil, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's job is to killing and destroying. Jesus' job is giving you life and more abundant life. You can study all the religion. Bible is the only book talks about love. God is love. Jesus Christ is the full of model of love. And he says, love your brethren. Do not hate. If you hate your brother, you are already going to hell. And all these teachings in the Bible. Unity, love is in the Bible. All other religion will tell you, hate other people, hate another nation, hate another person, or hate another kind. But Bible says, love even your enemy. And that's the way Bible teaches. So Jesus Christ said, I did not come to condemn you. I did not come to destroy you. I came to save you and give you life. Okay, Matthew 18:12.
How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
If somebody has 100 sheep and one is lost, that person doesn't say, hey, I have 99. Just only one gone. I'm not going to look for that one. And if he start doing that, you know what's going to happen? He may not have one. Each time one lost, He'd say, oh, we are 98 now, and keep on doing like that, he would not have any sheep. So the person who takes care of sheep, he is concerned about every one of them. Now, why he keeps the 99 and goes for one? Because if there are 99s sitting there, you have to go and see how the sheep, they sit. They don't sit putting their head together. They always sit like looking all around. They keep their back to each other and keep eye on the enemy. And the enemies, they don't go to attack some 100 in a group. The enemy only looks for a one single one, so he can attack. And that single one, the weaker one, he attacks and kills. That's why if you are in the church, if you're worshiping God and you have all the brothers and sisters with you, there is a less chance to be backslidden. But if you wander alone, let me see this movie, let me go to this bar, I want to witness to somebody, or let me go to this place and that place, you will be doomed. There was a one man came to our church, God saved young man and his sister and everybody, and they were in the church and singing and praising God, and they were very, very good believers. And one day that brother comes to me and says, Pastor Peter, I had a girlfriend, and now I am born again. The girlfriend wants me to go and witness to her. What you think? I said, it's a wrong idea. I said, if you want to go to witness to her, I'll come with you. Or you take your sister with you. But if you're going to witness to her, you are bad friends, you are lost. He did not take my advice. So the point I'm making, one lost sheep, enemy can attack. So the shepherd will keep on sensing where the voice is coming, and he will give the signal to that sheep. The Bible says, sheep knows the shepherd's voice. And if that sheep is not in the bush and outside somewhere, comes running to the man. Or if she's in the bush, he will rescue and bring it back. And he says, when he rescues that, he feels much more joy than this 99. If those 99 people were there and they say, oh, you are rejoicing only one man backslidden and come back. How about us? We are always with you. It's not like that. He says, if you pulling somebody out of the fire when somebody is dying in sin or backslidden, that's the great, great job. The Word of God says in a book of James, somebody has to rescue them from the fire. Okay, here, verse 14, it says, please read that verse one more time. 18:14. Matthew 18.
Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Now, he gave the example about the sheep, and he says, that's the exactly my heavenly Father does. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Read the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior.
What is acceptable? He said, this is acceptable in the sight of God.
Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth.
This is acceptable. God wants each and every person to know God, know the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. So our job is telling people about Jesus Christ, telling people that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and this is the will of God. God wants each and every person to be rescued and bring it to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go to the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God does not want any person to go to hell, but all should repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Book of Romans chapter 10, he says, how can they hear without a preacher? Somebody has to go and tell. And so somebody says, oh, I'm not a preacher. The preacher gets the salary, $500,000, let him go. Thank God I'm not taking salary. So what I'm trying to say, each and every believer is a preacher. is a witness. Go and tell somebody, I was lost. Jesus saved me. And I don't want you to go to hell, because the Word of God says, I don't want anyone to go to hell. I want everyone to repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's what God's desire is. And we are here to fulfill the God's desire. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 18 and start reading from verse 15.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he'll not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
Now, when you say brother, it can be your real brother, or it can be a church member. Now, the just thing that church member did something wrong to you, very wrong. As soon as that person did something wrong, you said, I'm going to go and tell pastor, I'm going to tell the church and this and that. The Word of God says, do a couple of things. First, you take that brother aside and talk to him, brother, we are believers. Why are you doing this to me? And explain to him. And if he says, I'm sorry, brother, I made a mistake, you already gained your brother. That's okay. But if he says, who are you telling me? That's not your job. Maybe pastor or elder will tell me. You get out of here. You don't tell me what to do. Okay. Then he should do, that brother should go to one of the deacons or one of the another brother, and a couple of brothers say, let's talk to this brother. This is what he's doing to me. And I told him, but he doesn't listen. And then if that brother says, who are you? I'm not going to listen to you, both of you or all of you. And then you take that brother, if he's a church member, and it might be giving more tithe to the church, and pastor doesn't say anything to him and keeps quiet. So take it to the church. And then tell in front of church, this is what this brother is doing. You talk to that person separately. Then take a couple of brothers, he doesn't listen. Then bring it to the congregation. Because the pastor might say, you are wrong. So bring it to the congregation. And then if he doesn't listen to the congregation, then the Word of God says, he should be to you like a heathen or publican. Don't keep contact with that person anymore. Don't eat with him. Don't talk with him. Don't do anything. Paul says, give it to him, to Satan. And somebody says, how can we give it to Satan? When you give to somebody to Satan, what the Satan's job is? Grilling you, destroying you, making you more problems. And then you can call to God, just like Job. When he got so much persecution, so much problem, then he start blaming everybody, blaming anybody he could find. And then if you read chapter 38, 39, then God comes and say, hey Job, let me talk to you. When I laid the foundation of the world, where were you? And then God tells him all kinds of scientific things. He said, Lord, I talked to you once, I talked to you twice. Now I'm not going to talk, I'm going to listen to you. And what God says, go and pray for those people. He didn't say, I'm still sick, those people are my enemy now. How can I go and pray for you? He didn't say anything, because he said, I'll keep quiet, I will listen to you. He went and prayed for them. And the Job chapter 42 verse 10, the Word of God says God changed everything, healed him, gave him twice the blessings, and all the friends and relatives coming and giving him golden rings and money and everything, and he became very rich. So the Word of God said, if that person is stubborn and don't listen, leave him alone, give it to the Satan. Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 18, start reading from verse 18.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Many people get mixed up on this scripture. Whatever you loose on this earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on this earth, it will be bound in heaven. God is not running heaven by the earth. We have no authority to tell the God run the heaven like earth. Somebody did the wrong translation. The real translation is whatever is in heaven bound, you bind that on earth. Whatever loose in heaven, you loose that in earth. Means do the will of God. And that 19th verse says, two people agree on earth doing the will of God, then God will hear your prayer. You keep on loosing and binding without being a Christian, without living a holy life, it's not going to happen. And we have to make the world like heaven, not the heaven like earth. People want to do whatever is on earth, let it be in heaven. That's not the prayer. What Jesus Christ said, what is in heaven, let it be on earth. What is your will in heaven? That's the will we want to do on earth. And there are so many people now, prophecy teacher and some of the scholars saying, oh, we are going to stay in this earth forever. They got mixed up. Up to now, we prayed to go to heaven. Jesus says, I'm coming to take you to heaven. Everybody's looking forward to going to heaven. And all of a sudden, these people start changing the theology. Why? Because the Jehovah Witnesses saying, this is the world we are going to live in. So many Jehovah Witnesses brainwashing some Christians. And some of the Christians say, okay, we go along with you. Doesn't matter, we can live on this earth forever. But that's not the word of God is saying. If you are living on earth and you want to do the will of God, then you agree. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and their will. Means according to their will, I pray, the prayer is answered. When I'm sitting in prayer and somebody doesn't believe in prayer and doesn't believe, the people say, oh, we can be disagree, but still agree, and we can still do this. We don't have to be agree all the time. What the Bible teaches. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, how can two people walk together until they get agree? Bible says, don't walk with somebody who is not agreeing with you. And if you are walking together and two people are not agree with each other and they pray together, their prayer will be useless. God is not going to answer the prayer. He says two people has to agree. There is one God. There is Jesus is the Savior. And God is the prayer answering God. He doesn't answer the sinner's prayer. He answered the righteous man's prayer. So let's give up our sinful life and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and pray together. That prayer will be answered. Some people say, oh, I prayed for the sick, I prayed for this, and I prayed for myself many, many times. Nothing worked. What the word of God is saying? Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, he says, your sin has come between you and God. God's ears are not deaf, his hands are not shortened, but our sin comes in between, so God cannot hear. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 18, starting from verse 20.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Now here also we say, where two or three, two people already agree together, God is going to listen, and the third person comes in a unity. And then three people gather together, God's presence comes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God comes in a unity. Now, there is a saying, two is a company and a three is a crowd. There are one third person. Hey, you are crowding us. Bible says we need a third person. And three people together, much powerful prayer. There is a saying, if you have a thread and three thread together you join, it is difficult to break those thread. So the same way, three people gather together, God's presence comes. He did not say, we have to have 3,000 people's convention, then I'll appear. No. Three people gather together in his name, God's presence will be there. Okay, let's read verse 21.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants.
Now here, Peter comes and asks the questions to Jesus. How many times I should forgive my brother? Seven times? He says 70 times seven. Now somebody would say, why here 70 times 7 you have to forgive somebody And earlier we watched, if that person doing something wrong, talk to him privately, then take two people and talk, and then bring it to the church and talk, and then cast him out. Why we did not give him chance 70 times 7? Do you know? Why people did not give him 70 times 7 time? And here Jesus Christ saying in the same chapter, you should forgive your brother 70 times 7. Why we cannot forgive that brother, and why we can forgive this brother? Do you know? Because the other brother is a stubborn. He is not repenting. He doesn't want to listen to anybody. He says, I'm right and you're wrong. That person you cannot forgive. But here the person says, I'm sorry, brother, I made a mistake. Could you please forgive me? You should forgive. And he comes next week again. If he asks forgiveness, forgive. But if he's stubborn and keep on doing these things and never ask forgiveness, you cannot forgive that person. And then he gives another example. Go ahead.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Now here, what we're learning here, he gave an example. There is a one man, he's a rich man, just think he's a king. He has so many servants. One servant, he had lots of debts, thousands of dollars, or millions of dollars. And the master says, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, get the money, and his debt will be paid. He said, no, please forgive me, I'll pay all your debts. And he almost worshipped the man. He said, okay, I'll let you go. Then he goes on the street, free man. So here comes the person, works for the same man. And he finds him and he says, hey, you owe me $10. Give me right away. He said, the same thing he asked him, forgive me, I'll pay you every penny. He said, no. He hold him through his throat and beat him up and put him in a jail. Say, until every penny you give, I'm not going to let you go. Now he was forgiven millions of dollars. And he could not forgive this man for $10. So another servant. Another servant means the same man's servant saw him doing something to his another servant. This another servant who was forgiven, he is treating one of that master's servant. And so he said, okay, bring him here. Now somebody says, you're already forgiven. Now in America, if somebody, murderer or somebody, and this case came and then they let him go, they don't arrest him for the same crime because then he has to do the another case. So he said, bring that man here. And then he tells him, didn't I forgive you? Why can't you have the same compassion, same love, like I showed it to you? Millions of dollars, I let it go. And you could not let go $10? Get this man back. Put him in. Now this time did not allow him to just put in the prison. He said, beat him up. Tormentors, he sent some tormentors. Means somebody comes with a hunter and start beating. The verse 34. And he beat him up. And now he's wounded and half dead. I'm putting him in prison. Let die there. And then the word of God is saying, likewise. Let's read the verse 35.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Now, this is so important. We go to church, we ask God to forgive our sins, but we do not forgive others. Mother, father, brother, church member, or any relatives. We keep the grudge for 50 years grudge or 20 years grudge in our mind. The word of God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing. I forgave you and you don't want to forgive others. I will put you in that big, big hellfire. Because you don't want to forgive others, why should I forgive you? That's what he says. If you don't forgive others, he will not forgive you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
If you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I will punish you. Read Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Now hear what he's saying. You are a Christian man. You are a born-again child of God. You go to church and you pray. Or you might be praying in your house. And what you praying? God, give me a good job. Give me a good wife. Give me a good husband. Give me good promotion. Give me. Everything you're asking God. He's saying, when you're standing in front of me, and then if you come to know that you are not forgiven some of the people, that's where the bitterness comes. That's why people have arthritis pain and so many different diseases, and they're trying to get medicine. The one medicine they buy, the another part of their body get destroyed. Then they go to get another medicine, and then some other parts of their body get destroyed, and they keep on destroying their body, getting new medicine in their body. But the simple thing is, ask forgiveness to God and say, I'm sorry. Verse 26.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
If you don't do it, I will not forgive you also. Simple thing. You asking forgiveness to God, you tried forgiving other people. You want forgiveness, you forgive others. Otherwise, you are not going to get forgiveness. Shall we rise? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us your grace to love one another, forgive one another, and be blessed. Let us shine in this world, bringing other people who do not know the truth. So we can tell others, Jesus Christ has saved me, healed me, forgave me, gave me eternal life, and I want to pass it on to you. Give us that kind of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.